Good morning. With KUAC News, I'm Tim Ellis. The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected Fairbanks militia leader Schaefer Cox's appeal of his conviction in 2012 on a charge of conspiracy to murder federal officials. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reported Monday the high court didn't include any comment in its rejection of the appeal. Cox is serving a 26-year sentence for conspiring with a group of his supporters to kill officials with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and others. An Anchorage jury convicted Cox of crimes that included soliciting and conspiring to commit murder and owning illegal weapons. But the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals later overturned Cox's conviction for soliciting murder. Monday's Supreme Court ruling leaves the appeals court ruling intact. By 2012, Cox had drawn the attention of law enforcement agencies after he'd organized groups that included the Alaska Peacemakers Militia and the Second Amendment Task Force. He helped both groups stage large rallies where, among other things, speakers threatened violence against law enforcement officers, judges, and federal officials. Investigators with the National Transportation Safety Board and Alaska State Troopers are on the scene of a plane crash near Sitka that killed two men over the weekend. KCAW's Emily Kwong reports.
According to the Coast Guard, the Piper float plane with two people aboard departed Sitka on Saturday night for a 20-minute flight and never returned. After an extensive search, an Air Station Sitka helicopter crew found the wrecked plane Sunday night. It was found submerged where the Catlin River meets the Catlin Bay. The pilot, 45-year-old Stoney Huffman of Sitka, and passenger, 66-year-old James Ronge of California, were both deceased. Ronge's body was found after an extensive search on Monday. With the search over, the Alaska State Troopers and two agents with the National Transportation Safety Board are now conducting an investigation. Here's Clint Johnson, Alaska Region Chief for NTSB.
The intent for the next 24 hours or as soon as possible is to get to the accident site and go ahead and document it to the best of our ability. It is partially submerged in some brackish water. Then we're going to go into the recovery of the wreckage.
The plane was a white and red colored PA-18 Super Cub float plane. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.
The Fairbanks City Council took a big step Monday toward taking over ownership of the old Polaris Hotel, a step that Mayor Jim Matherly hopes will lead to demolition of the contaminated and condemned downtown structure.
We have to legally own the property to do much with it.
Monday's 5-0 vote on an ordinance sponsored by Matherly and Councilman David Pruse enables the city to begin a process of acquiring ownership of the Polaris through foreclosure. The measure authorizes the city to pay $49,000 to the borough to cover property taxes that Anchorage developer Mark Marlowe, who owns the Polaris, has failed to pay since 2015. Matherly says passage of the ordinance enables the city to seek funding to help pay the $4 million demolition cost.
By putting it into our hands, it gives us a lot more power to obtain federal funds, to obtain state funds, any kinds of help that we can get to tear it down.
City officials say Marlowe hasn't responded to their concerns. He also didn't return phone calls for this story. The mayor says it'll take a while for the city to finally arrange a date with the wrecking ball for the Polaris, sort of like the slow pace at which the city has had to proceed since it and the Downtown Association of Fairbanks began working in earnest on the project in 2015.
We don't have a wrecking ball date yet on the Polaris building. It has actually been baby steps, no doubt about it.
Matherly said during Monday's meeting it's still possible Marlowe will pay the more than $54,000 he owes the borough for 2015's back taxes, and if so, he'll retain ownership of the Polaris. Regardless, the mayor says the city will move quickly to secure the building to keep vandals and thrill seekers from breaking into it. Fairbanks police have responded to nearly 100 complaints for break-ins and other such activity since 2009. Besides the nuisance, the vandals also risk exposing themselves to such contaminants as asbestos and black mold that's spread throughout the building after years of neglect.
We're going to secure that building in the next 30 to 60 days. People won't be breaking in all the time. We're going to secure it really well because that's just not a, your average empty building. it is beyond dilapidated inside with a whole lot of dangerous things in there.
Meanwhile, the Downtown Association of Fairbanks will continue raising the rest of the $135,000 the city needs to gain ownership of the building. The money will be used to buy the note from a lender who loaned Marlowe $130,000. Matherly says the organization has already raised about half that amount. Elsewhere downtown, progress has been made on cleaning up another eyesore. The owner of the First Avenue property where the Masonic Temple once stood last week had a cleanup contractor haul away a large pile of debris from the site. The rubble was left over from the city-ordered demolishing of the structure back in March after a portion of the roof collapsed due to a heavy snow load.
That looks terrific. I mean, obviously it's a fence and there's nothing there.
Fairbanks Mayor Jim Matherly says it's a big improvement over the unsightly pile of debris covered by tarps that remained on the site until it was cleaned up in an operation that went from Wednesday through Friday.
The old foundation still stands. It's not the most attractive thing, but it is secure.
The mayor says he appreciates property owner Harold Gretzema's diligence in rounding up and paying the approximately $80,000 bill to clean up the debris.
But it costs a lot of money to haul that away, and his insurance wouldn't cover it, so hats off that he did it.
The mayor says now that the rubble is cleaned up, the property on the 800 block of First Avenue seems like a prime location for redevelopment. At the request of Congressman Don Young, a bill pending in the U.S. House of Representatives would reduce Alaska's share of revenues from oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and give that money to Alaska Native corporations. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Congress decided last year, when it opened the refuge to oil development, to split the revenues 50-50 between the state and federal governments. But last week, Republican Senator Tom Cole of Oklahoma proposed to the House Appropriations Committee to reduce the state's share to 47% and direct 3% to Alaska Native corporations.
It's fitting that I offer this amendment under the larger-than-life picture of Don Young that's staring down on us because, to be fair to everybody, this is an amendment that Don Young asked me to offer.
Young isn't on the Appropriations Committee, but his portrait hangs in the room where the committee met. Cole's amendment specifies the 3% share would be distributed according to 7I revenue sharing. That's the section of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act that says the regional Native corporations have to share a majority of the revenue from resource development on their lands with each other. The idea was to offset wealth disparities among the corporations. But to the frustration of several of them, Arctic Slope Regional Corporation got subsurface ownership to a small portion of ANWR in a 1983 land exchange known as the Chandler Lake Agreement. And that land is not subject to the revenue sharing requirement. Cole says his amendment fulfills the mission of 7I.
It is in keeping with the spirit of that legislation that there's to be resource sharing amongst the Alaskan Natives from ANWR.
Cole's amendment passed the committee on a voice vote. Young, in a written statement, says the 3% allocation will support the health and well-being of Alaska Natives. He says he and Alaska's U.S. senators intended to get the allocation included in the bill last year, but were blocked by a Senate rule. A spokeswoman for Lisa Murkowski says the senator supports the 3% allocation in the House bill to, quote, resolve historical inequities. Governor Walker spokesman Austin Baird says Walker backs the congressional delegation's efforts. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And I'm Tim Ellis.